Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this blessed opportunity you've given us to be able to gather in your house and open your word. Help us now as we return to the book of Jeremiah once again to continue our studies. Help us to understand it and apply it in the right way. Thank you so much as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. As we continue our Exploring the Word series in the book of Jeremiah, we'll pick it back up here in chapter 5, in Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 1. Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now, and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if ye can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it. Like, if there are any righteous in this area, then I'll give them a pardon, not bring the onslaught that's coming to them and the judgment that's coming upon them. But there wasn't any. And though they say the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. All the false religion that was there. The hypocrites, they weren't sincerely trusting and following the Lord. In verse 3, O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. Therefore I said, surely these are poor, they are foolish, for they know not the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of their God. Now the reference to being poor here is poor in spirit, not financially poor. Because I will get me unto the great men, and will speak unto them, for they have known the way of the Lord and the judgment of their God, but these have altogether broken the yoke of and burst the bonds. Wherefore a lion out of the forest shall slay them, and a wolf of the evening shall spoil them. A leopard shall watch over their cities. Every one that goeth out thence shall be torn in pieces, because their transgressions are many and their backslidings are increased. How shall I pardon thee for this? Thy children have forsaken me and sworn by them that are no gods. When I had fed them to the full, they then committed adultery and assembled themselves by troops in the harlots' houses. Like, how can he pardon them? How can he let them get by? There must be accountability for sin. They were as fed horses in the morning. Every one neighed after his neighbor's wife. Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? And shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? Like, there has to be accountability for sin. That's why Jesus Christ came down and paid the ultimate price for all sin. And then we must accept his free gift of that pardon and be a part of his family. Otherwise, we will perish in judgment as the others. Verse 10. Go ye up upon her walls and destroy, but make not a full end. Take away her battlements, for they are not the Lord's. Notice once again, not a full end. He's letting them know that even though there's going to be some awesome, terrible destruction, it's not going to be complete and total annihilation of the children of Israel. For the house of Israel and the house of Judah have dealt very treacherously against me, saith the Lord. They have belied the Lord and said, it is not he, neither shall evil come upon us, neither shall we see sword nor famine. This word belied is a word referencing being deceitful and actually lying. They are telling lies and being deceitful when they're saying, oh, nothing's going to happen. He's not going to judge us for this. And the prophets shall become wind, and the word is not in them. Thus shall it be done unto them. Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because ye speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire, and this people wood, and it shall devour them. Lo, I will bring a nation upon you from far, a house of Israel, saith the Lord. It is a mighty nation, it is an ancient nation, a nation whose language thou knowest not, neither understandest what they say. Their quiver is as an open sepulcher. They are all mighty men, and they shall eat up thine harvest and thy bread, which thy sons and thy daughters should eat. They shall eat up thy flocks and thine herds. They shall eat up the vines and the fig trees. They shall impoverish thy fenced cities, wherein thou trustest with the sword. Nevertheless, in those days, saith the Lord, I will not make a full end with you. Once again, some of the descriptions of some of the things that are going to happen by a foreign nation coming in and conquering them, but not complete and total annihilation. Verse 19. And it shall come to pass, when ye shall say, wherefore doeth the Lord our God all these things unto us? It's like, well, why is this happening to me? When it's obvious, it's because of their behavior, their misbehavior. And it shall come to pass, when ye shall say, wherefore doeth the Lord our God all these things unto us? Then shalt thou answer them, like as ye have forsaken me and served strange gods in your land, so shall ye serve strangers in a land that is not yours. They went after strange gods, then God's going to turn them over to strange people. Declare this in the house of Jacob and publish it in Judah, saying, hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. The reference that we see over in the New Testament there concerning the attitude and mindset, behavior, and willingness of people not to see, not to want to hear, not to hear the Word of God and receive it, because then they'll be changing their ways. They didn't want to change their ways, just as these people here. They willingly closed their eyes and plugged their ears. Verse 22, fear ye not me? And that's a question that a lot of people need to think about. Do you really and truly fear the Lord? Fear ye not me, saith the Lord? Will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree that it cannot pass it? And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail. Though they roar, yet can they not pass over it. But this people hath a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted of and gone. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God, that giveth rain, both the former and the latter, in his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Note here, he's bringing out the facts that the Lord has total control over the entire world, the physical realm in which we live in. All of nature is under his control. He controls the oceans, he controls the rain, he controls everything. It's by his word that everything consists and stays in existence and functions in the way that it needs to function. But these people have not given him the credit for it. They have not given him the honor and respect and the fear and the reverence that needs to be, just as people of today. People of today who like to give the pagan goddess Gaia, or otherwise known as Mother Nature, credit for controlling all the weather. And they are ignorant, they are willingly blind to the truth, they spew out blasphemy and giving credit to a pagan goddess for what's going on out in the world, rather than honoring and acknowledging that it's Jesus Christ who's controlling everything, not some pagan goddess, Mother Earth or Gaia or Mother Nature, that so many like to use the term of, but that is disrespectful even to the point of being blasphemous. So be very careful with that. Just as these folks back then did not give the Lord credit for being the one in control of everything around them. Verse 25, your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. This is an important verse here that we got to understand. The blessings that we can receive from the Lord can be limited by our behaviors. We can cut off the blessings that we would have gotten because we become disobedient. We need to understand that if we want the full blessings that the Lord has in store for us, we need to be obedient. We need to bring honor and glory to Him continuously through everything that we do, and completely and totally give ourselves to Him and love Him with all of our existence. Then we will receive the full blessings when we are loving and obedient children of God. But when you become disobedient, then the blessings will decrease. Just as He says, your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. For among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait as he that setteth snares. They set a trap, they catch men. As a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. Therefore they are become great and waxen rich. They are waxen fat, they shine. Yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause of the fatherless. Yet they prosper, and the right of the needy do they not judge. Let's look at this a little bit here, where it says they overpass the deeds of the wicked. They ignore and let slide the actions of the wicked. They are okay with lawbreakers. Say, it's okay to break the law, as we see so much being done in this world today, especially in this country. They want to pardon people that are lawbreakers and just let it slide. And they are doing this, why? Because they profit from it. And they're in latter part of 28, yet they prosper. And the right of the needy do they not judge. Here, not judge as being judgment of whether right and wrong. It means not seeking to meet the needs of. So you have people back then that he's referring to that have gone out to find ways that they could profit from the lawbreakers and to not to help those that are sincerely in need, but on a pretense. They are waxing fat, as it says. They like to present themselves as being something that they are not, as if they are doing a good work, but yet they are doing an evil, and at the heart of it is their own lustful desires of praise or honor or even monetary gain. Let's read 28 again. They are waxen fat. They shine. Yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause. The cause of the fatherless, yet they prosper, and the right of the needy do they not judge. Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? So when you have a nation, when you have a people that will let evil go, say it's okay, leave them alone, they're born that way, or it doesn't matter if you're a lawbreaker, come on in, we'll help you anyway, and then ignore those that are sincerely in need that should be helped, which is referring to the fatherless here, because there's no profit in that. They go back to help the ungodly and the lawbreakers because there's profit in that. Shall I not visit for these things? Like, they will be held accountable for such actions. So how can we apply all this today? 28 and 29 there could be rolled into what's going on in this country today with a lot of the illegal activities that are going on, such as the illegal immigrants that are coming in, that are bringing in drugs, that are trafficking in children and trafficking in sex slaves and so forth. The Democrats say, yeah, okay, come on in. We'll even designate a sanctuary city for you, so you can come in and hide out here against those that are wanting to enforce the law. They're going up against ICE currently. They're even attacking them. There's recent events because they do not want the law to be fulfilled. They do not want the lawbreakers to be captured and dealt with. They want to keep them in their cities because they want them to be able to vote for them and therefore give them profit. They don't truly, sincerely concern for the needy, as we clearly see now, which is a sanctuary city. The streets are covered with the needy and living in tents and cardboard boxes and so forth, but yet they're welcoming in droves the illegal immigrants and the drug dealers, and shielding the drug dealers and the offenders. There are multiple offenses. They're hiding them from federal law, and yet ignoring the people that truly, sincerely need their help. Exactly what we see here in the book of Jeremiah. So we see these events, these kind of people, these attitudes, it's nothing new. The stuff that we see going on in this country has been going on for thousands of years. And there will, in verse 29, be accountability. Shall I not visit for those things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? Those people that are behind such activities, such behaviors, shall be held accountable. Verse 30. A wonderful and a horrible thing is committed in the land. Now understand here the word wonderful. We typically today use the word wonderful as a positive word, meaning something that you're really impressed with, that is a wonder, that is something good. But here it means astonishment. An astonishment and a horrible event is what is going to be when it comes time for judgment. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it. And what will ye do in the end thereof? They like the false teaching and the false teachers, which we sure see a lot of that today. The false teachers out there, the false prophets, the ones that have lifted themselves up and become a minister of false teaching, they really pack the houses with those. The feel-good preachers, the pep rallies, the ones that just want to say, oh, you're okay the way you are, come on in and give me your donation. They're making a lot of money off of that, and the people are loving it. And that's what he's speaking of here, the false prophets. All right, let's roll right on into chapter 6 here. Here we have, O ye children of Benjamin. Now, Benjamin is the remnant. They're the smallest of the 12 tribes that is left. They were left behind. They were down there with Judah in the southern regions, in the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom was made up of the other 10 tribes. They were considered as Israel. And in the lower section was considered Judah, but was actually made up of the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin. O ye children of Benjamin, gather yourselves to flee out of the midst of Jerusalem, and blow the trumpet of Tekoa, and set up a sign of fire in Beth-Haxerem. For evil appeareth out of the north, and great destruction. I have likened the daughter of Zion to a comely and delicate woman. The shepherds with their flocks shall come unto her. They shall pitch their tents against her round about. They shall feed every one in his place. Prepare ye war against her. Arise and let us go up at noon. Woe unto us, for the day goeth away, for the shadows of the evening are stretched out. Arise and let us go by night, and let us destroy her palaces. The warning going out to flee, because this onslaught is coming their way. For thus hath the Lord of the host said, hew ye down trees and cast a mount against Jerusalem. This is the city to be visited. She is wholly oppression in the midst of her. As a fountain casteth out her waters, so she casteth out her wickedness. Violence and spoil is heard in her. Before me continually is grief and wounds. Be thou instructed, O Jerusalem. Let my soul depart from thee, lest I make thee desolate, a land not inhabited. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall thoroughly glean the remnant of Israel as a vine. Turn back thine hand as a grape gatherer into the baskets. Now this thoroughly gleaning, when you glean a field or you glean the crops, that's going back after the major harvest and picking every little thing that you can find that's left behind. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. That last part there we see a lot of in today's world, where people do not want to hear the word of God. They have turned against it. They consider it an enemy to them. They consider it hate speech. Whereas here, they were considering it a reproach. Verse 11. Therefore, I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days, and their houses shall be turned unto others with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. It's coming upon them, it's going to be coming upon them, and it's going to be thoroughly upon them. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness, and from the prophet even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. They are full of sin, in other words, verse 15 there. They are in an abomination, and yet they are not ashamed of it. Just as we recently saw in the news, this whole movement, the gay pride movement, they are a filthy abomination, and they're proud of it, just like these people back then were. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. The message is out there. The opportunity is out there to get forgiveness, to walk the right pathway, but they don't want to be on that pathway. Also, I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they say, we will not hearken. Therefore, hear ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Now, this is a message going out to all the surrounding nations. Like, all right, all the rest of you folks out there, beyond what area I'm fixing to judge, best look and see and know what could happen to you. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. The judgment, the harsh judgment is coming upon them, and that others need to learn by that. To what prosper cometh there to me in incense from Sheba, and the sweet cane from a far country? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices sweet unto me. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will lay stumbling blocks before this people, and the fathers and the sons together shall fall upon them. The neighbor and his friend shall perish. Thus saith the Lord, behold, a people cometh from the north country, and a great nation shall be raised from the sides of the earth. They shall lay hold on bow and spear. They are cruel and have no mercy. Their voice roareth like the sea, and they ride upon horses, set in array as men for war against thee, O daughter of Zion. We have heard the fame thereof, our hands wax feeble, anguish hath taken hold of us, and pain as a woman in travail. Go not forth into the field, nor walk by the way, for the sword of the enemy and the fear is on every side. O daughter of my people, gird thee with sackcloth and wallow thyself in ashes. Make thee mourning as for an only son. Most bitter lamentation for the spoiler shall suddenly come upon us. I have set thee for a tower and a fortress among my people, that thou mayest know and try their way. They are all grievous revolters, walking with slanders. They are brass and iron. They are all corruptors. The bellows are burned. The lead is consumed of the fire. The founder melteth in vain, for the wicked are not plucked away. Reprobate silver shall men call them, because the Lord hath rejected them. We see so many things here that has been displayed, so many things here that the disobedience that was being displayed by the children of Israel, by Judah, by Benjamin, and accounts given over and over that they will be held accountable for their actions and that judgment is coming upon them. And we need to, as he gave the reference to there back in the Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people. We need to know and understand and see the things that have taken place in the past and know that we can learn from them. The judgments that will come upon people for disobedience, it will be a time of accountability for our actions. And the only way you can get out of that severe judgment is to trust in Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. It's the only way. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. These events that have taken place so long ago, but yet they still apply to us today. It's amazing how we can see the parallels of the events back then and the things that are going on today. Help us to learn from that. Help us to apply it to our lives and share it with others. We thank you so much as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank you all.